something? Charlie gave this to me. It's a map of the Holy Land drawn in 1709. He got it at a flea market. It's hand-colored, copper-engraved. You're going to put it in the outer office.
This outer office?
Yeah, no. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because some people are going to find it offensive.
Why?
It doesn't recognize Israel.
It was drawn in 1709.
Yeah.
There was no Israel.
Right.
Israel wouldn't happen for another 250 years.
Yeah.
So what's the problem with the map?
Some people are going to find it offensive.
Why?
It doesn't recognize Israel.
Take lunch, would you?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Wait. I want to show you this great map Charlie found.
Sir, I know that. You can't put it up in the West Wing.
CJ.
It doesn't recognize Israel.
There was no Israel in 1709.
That's right.
So it's not on the map.
Which is what some people are going to find offensive.
That's ridiculous.
You know what would be great?
If I put it someplace else?
Yes.
Yes, folks. And as said by Voltaire, to learn who rules you, simply find out who it is you're not allowed to criticize. And that's an interesting little clip. That was obviously from West Wing or something like that. Probably a few years ago, I guess. I don't even think the show's on air anymore. But yeah, they kind of tell you. They put it in your face and let you know what's going on. You know, the world is just nuts. And there's certain people you can't criticize. I'm doing another sit and talk today. As you can see, it's a rainy, sort of a cold day in Croatia today. It's been a lot of rainy, cold days, unfortunately. But that's what it's like in this area of the world at this time of the year, I would guess. Have tried a couple of times to go and do a talk in at the sea organ that I'd like to show you, that footpath that I mentioned with the pipes coming up through the footpath. You can kind of hear the sound of the sea. It kind of plays organ music for you. Interesting, really, really interesting sort of a thing. I will get down there and get it done. I've been still touring around Croatia. It's been really good, actually. There's some great stuff in Croatia. There really is, folks. They've got some absolutely beautiful mountain ranges, really Baroque-looking mountains, you know, like Lord of the Ringsy sort of stuff. Really beautiful, beautiful landscapes. Called into a place called Plitvice Lakes, which was absolutely incredible. Apparently there's like 16 lakes in succession down this particular river. And a beautiful, beautiful place. Massive amounts of waterfalls in this one little section. Waterfalls turning into other multiple waterfalls, and it was really good. Plus we saw a salamander on the path, which was a bit of a treat. These things are extremely rare to see and just happened to come out as we were walking back to the car. Absolutely incredible place, folks. Croatia is a really beautiful country, and if you are ever visiting Europe, I suggest you come here and check it out. The crowds have been really good at the talks I've been doing. I did a talk in Zagreb. There was a lot of people at the talk. It was actually overcrowded. I did another one in Rijeka, and it was the same thing. Like, it was fully packed. Far more people than I expected to be there, but it was quite remarkable. Done a couple of TV appearances, did one on a show that I posted the other day, and did another one on The Edge of Science with a guy that I did one here when I was here in 2012. I'm not sure if that's been published yet, but it will probably go to air soon. It's been recorded anyway. That was all fun, really good, but the talks have been great. I'm off today to Pula to do a talk in Pula tomorrow, which is Saturday, and that's going to be good as well. Looking forward to that. Got a couple more here. You're going to be here in Croatia for probably another 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, something like that. And then I'll be heading back to Mexico. The bar in Mexico looks like I might have to close the bar, folks. It's just not making any money. It's actually costing money to keep open. So I don't think I can maintain that for very long. So I think I may have to close the bar, which is quite sad. We did put a lot of effort into getting it up and running, but in the off season in Acapulco, it's just difficult to get anything to work. It's difficult to get anything to actually pay for itself. And that's just an unfortunate thing. So if I do have to close the bar, perhaps I will leave Acapulco, I think, and maybe find somewhere else to be. I can't really see the point in staying in Acapulco if I don't have the bar. I mean, there's other places in Mexico that are far more attractive and more comfortable than Acapulco. So yeah, I'm just have to play all that by ear when I get back there and see what the new plan is. But yeah, that's the news on me anyway. The news on the world is that it is going completely nuts and is continuing to go nuts. More knife attacks in Australia. There was a 10-year-old apparently stabbed by her 17-year-old sister. there was a 26-year-old that was killed by a 28-year-old, or vice versa. That might have been in England, I'm not sure, but there's been a spate of stabbings. There were three people stabbed at a school as well. It's getting pretty out of control. And the thing is that there are always stabbings in Australia. I mean, there's stabbings that happen like all the time. There's stabbings that happen in the UK all the time, across Europe and in the United States all the time. The question is, why are we hearing about it so publicly now? And again, it's about censorship. It's about control. You know, they brought in the big guns with the one in Australia, of course, folks, the stabbing of the priest, which isn't really the big one, but it's the one they're calling a terror attack, simply because apparently the kid who stabbed the priest was a Muslim, apparently 16 years old. We still don't know what his name is. We still don't know anything about this. Probably some police officer's son. Who knows what's going on, folks? You know, I don't trust the police at all, but of course we're told that the Australian police must be seen as our single source of truth. So they're calling this a terror attack, and they want it expunged from Twitter, or X as it's called now. And in doing this, they've called in the big guns, folks. Jacinda Ardern, they've got her to make a comment on it. Because when the Christchurch shooting happened, or yeah, the Christchurch mosque massacre happened, Jacinda Ardern formed an organisation called the Christchurch Call. And the Christchurch Call was what arranged for this censorship on Twitter, this worldwide censorship, because she's a globalist now. She's part of the World Economic Forum now. She's got something like a Women World Leaders or some sort of a club in the World Economic Forum where she advises people. And the result of her making this arrangement with Twitter when the Christchurch shooting happened was that this is the legislation that they used, or the rules they used around the world, to do things like remove Donald Trump's account. President of the United States, whatever you think of him, it's pretty hardcore to remove his Twitter account because you don't like what he's saying. You know, this is the legislation that paved the way to do all of this. And now they've called her in again because they want to bring censorship back in, have all violent content removed. And what is violent content? I mean, you know, the police are more violent than anybody. You can honestly see more violent things than the stabbing of this priest on any type of movie or cop movie or action movie. It's chronic, some of the stuff they show you on TV, which is far worse and far more expansive and sinks in a lot deeper than simply seeing a cheap video of a stabbing like this. And you couldn't even really see anything. And even the priest who got stabbed is saying the video should remain on X. But no, the government is saying it must be pulled down. And it's crazy. The Australian government is literally saying that Elon Musk shouldn't think he's above Australian law.
This bloke thinks he's above the Australian law, that he's above common decency. And I tell you what, I say to Elon Musk, that he is so out of touch.
This shows how out of touch the Prime Minister of Australia is, or maybe just how scripted all this is, because, of course, Elon Musk is not Australian. He doesn't live in Australia. He's not subject to Australian law. And the internet is an international thing. It has no borders. But will this be used to put pressure on Elon Musk when he's in somewhere else, when he's in Europe, when he's in the United States, whatever, to say that this Australian call needs to apply to you, and you know, perhaps we should arrest you and deport you to Australia or whatever? And you've got all sorts of politicians in Australia calling for his arrest. You've got Jackie Lambie, this hideous parasite that she is, calling for the arrest of Elon Musk.
Elon Musk has no social conscience or conscience whatsoever. I don't know, whatever Elon Musk is on, it says that that's okay to continue to air that is absolutely disgusting behaviour. And quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed. And the sooner that we can bring rules in or do something about this sort of game playing with our social media, the better off we're going to be. But quite frankly, the power that that man has, because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop.
You've got Peter Dutton, the leader of the opposition, saying that he should not think he's above the law.
So is there a case, do you think, for tougher action against social media companies?
No question at all. And I think there's a bipartisan position in relation to this. We know that the companies, and we've seen some of the comments from Elon Musk overnight, they see themselves above the law. And the Australian law here should apply equally in the real world as it does online. As Phil was pointing out before, you would be sued for defamation. And you would be taken before the courts under various acts for publishing some of that which freely flows on the internet. And there's an age verification regime, which has been recommended by the eSafety Commissioner from 2023. We think that's something the government should pick up straight away as well. But the Online Safety Act has significant powers in it. We passed it when we were in government, and it needs to be enforced. And if the laws are inadequate and they need to be strengthened or added to, then we would support any effort from the government.
It shows how delusional they are, folks. So the fact that they've called Jacinda Ardern in on this, and she's now working with the World Economic Forum, and like I said, you look at what the result of the Christchurch shooting was when that called for worldwide censorship, and they actually got it. That's what got us deleted from Facebook, deleted from Twitter, deleted from YouTube, all of this sort of stuff, the rules that were set in place by the Christchurch calling. This is what brought about world censorship, and when it happened, I said, that's what they're going to do with it. They're going to use this Christchurch video to bring in worldwide censorship of the internet, and we're all going to lose our platforms. And we did. Within 3 months to 6 months, we were all pretty well gone from those platforms. They're trying it again, folks, and a little bit more subtle this time, because, you know, a lot of the people of the world have woken up to the fact that these are a bunch of corrupt criminals. COVID has helped with that. Lots of people dying from the jab still, folks.
أحمد رفعت سلامات يا رفعت يا ساتر سلامات يا أحمد يا رفعت سلامات يا أحمد يا رفعت إن شاء الله كده بهدوء الجهاز الطبي ما يبقوش مخضوضين قوي عليه تمام كده
Did he pull something as he was carrying the ball? Oh, what's happening here? Doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good.
Get the medical staff
medical
on. Get
staff.
Them on.
World football, unfortunately, has been subject to so many distressing scenes on the pitch over the last few years.
Yeah.
We're really hoping for the best up here.
Se le salió el hombro, me parece.
Altamirano.
Ay, no.
No. Algo sucedió.
Sí, piden por favor que ya entre la ambulancia, ya están entrando en estos momentos los médicos para atenderlos.
Ahí están trabajando los médicos. Momento.
And AstraZeneca has actually admitted that, oh yes, our vaccine does cause rare side effects and quite a lot of them and can possibly even kill people. And we're sorry about that, but it's not side effects, folks. The truth of the matter is these are the effects of the injection, not the side effects of the injection, because there was no COVID. Even the German government has now admitted that there was no pandemic. The whole thing's been a scam. And this jab is killing lots of people. And as we said back in the start, it's going to take 2 to 5 years before you start seeing the results of what's happening with this jab. We've got turbo cancers going through the roof. Athletes are still dropping off all over the place. The report that I did on the Croatian television show, the host actually said to me, he believes that the figures are around about 17 million people killed from the jab at the moment worldwide. And that wouldn't surprise me at all. The last figures I heard coming out of Australia said there were 40,000 people dead or injured from the jab just in Australia. That's pretty remarkable, folks, and it's just going to keep happening. That's why they're pushing things so much, pushing everything they can and putting as much fear and as much just stress and just things into the minds of the people. You know, the war in Ukraine, the war in Gaza, the digital stuff they're doing, the cashless stuff they're doing, all at one time. So it's really difficult to focus on anything. And they're really pushing the digital stuff in Australia, folks. They're really, really pushing it. The people of Australia really need to stand up. I think there's a big rally either today or tomorrow. Maybe it was yesterday. Perhaps I've missed announcing it. But there was a big rally in Australia to push back against this digital ID. And it's really important that people do so. Should push back against digital everything, folks. I mean, this stuff is really bad. Digital watches, digital radios. Digital watches are actually incredibly radioactive. You get these digital watches that hook up to the internet, smart watches. These are incredibly radioactive. Earplugs as well, digital wireless earplugs. These things, each earplug puts out as much radiation as two Wi-Fi routers. I mean, a lot of people switch their Wi-Fi routers off at night, and here you've got these earplugs, each one putting out the same radiation as two Wi-Fi routers, and you're putting it in your ear, and it's literally where there's a hole into your head to go straight into your brain. And you put, it's like putting two Wi-Fi routers on each ear, or in each ear, and walking around all day. It's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts, folks. You've got to get rid of all of this digital stuff, all of this smart stuff out of your home, smart fridges, smart TVs, smart headphones, smart watches, smart clocks. As I've said before, you look up the etymology of the word smart, it means to inflict sharp pain. That's what it means. So, yeah, nothing is smart about this, folks. All of this digital stuff, it's crazy, and that's where they're pushing it. The removing of cash all around the world. Apparently, there's pretty well no cash being used in Amsterdam now. I don't know if it's the whole Netherlands, but pretty much no cash in Amsterdam. Apparently, most of the bikes are now electric bikes, and you're not supposed to bring cars into town at all, and no one will accept cash anywhere, which is pretty chronic, folks. This is going on in other countries in Europe as well as the mass migration, which is really going on in all of our countries, including Australia now. You know, we've seen this in Europe, we've seen it in the United States, we've seen that white replacement is actually a reality. They are replacing the white people with immigrants. A lot of countries in Europe now, is one country I believe has 70% immigrants in the country. So the white people of the country who live there are now down to 30% of the population. It's the same in the Netherlands. I think 56% of the Netherlands is now immigrants. The Dutch people are now a minority in their own country. Pretty good here in Croatia. Croatia actually has a Caucasian population, which is 99.3% of the country are white Caucasian nationals from Croatia, which is good. It's one of the most racially pure, if not the most racially pure country in all of the EU, which is quite remarkable. And significantly, it also has the lowest crime rate. Funny how that works. But they're doing it in Australia as well. I think last year, in one year, they brought in 90,000 migrants into Australia. That might seem like a lot, and it probably is by some standards, but, you know, it's not as bad as what we're seeing in Europe or anything. But now they've made a new policy. And now they're saying they want to bring in 100,000 migrants per month. Last month, apparently, they brought in 105,000 migrants into Australia.
Hey, can someone actually tell me what the hell is going on now? Like, seriously, what is happening? We have a crazy housing crisis here in Australia. I know it's global, but we've got one here in Australia. And they've just let in, last month, 105,000 immigrants. In a month. Hey, can someone tell me where the fuck these people are living? Like, where? What do they do for a job? Like, we've got businesses shutting down here. We've got 3,000, over 3,000 building companies go bust here in Australia in the last 12 months. There are a lot of people out of work. You know, there's two cafes right next to my salon, bust. You know, I could go on. And people are letting people go because the businesses aren't profiting as much now. But we're piling in all these people when we don't even have any housing for them. Where are these people going? My friend just had her rent put up $260 a week, right? So she has to leave. So she starts looking around for something else. She drives onto a street and she can't even park her car. And she's like, well, I wonder what that's about. They're all looking at the same place. Like 50 people. 50 fucking people looking at one place. And you want to bring in 105,000 in a month. We brought in over 900,000 immigrants last year, in the last 12 months, into Australia. And it's just driving all the prices up of the rents. Like, my rent just went up $150 a week. But $260 a week. I hear that it's regulated in every state except for Queensland. Someone can correct me on this, but in Queensland, you can just slap on whatever you want. $260. Where the fuck does that money come from? Sorry, but this is just doing my head in. Like, everybody is struggling right now. I just watched a TikTok of this young guy in Australia. He's an apprentice. He's now living in his car. And he's working full time. That's where we're at. Like, what is going on?
Hardcore stuff, folks. I mean, Australia's got a population of 26 million people. If you're going to be bringing in 100,000 migrants a month, it's not going to take very long to replace the population of Australia. Apparently, a lot of these are African migrants, black guys from Africa. So, you know, we've gone in and devastated Africa. Well, Britain has and Israel has. And now they're bringing all these migrants to other countries to replace the white population. Now, this is an ongoing thing, folks. This is a mass genocide. And as I've said before, it's aimed directly at white people, but not just white people, also everybody else. But they need the black people to come in and the Asians to come in and the Hispanics to come in order to wipe out the white people. And then they can wipe out the Hispanics and stuff with their jabs and, you know, the black people with their jabs and all the stuff they do. Undermine the country and just get rid of most of the population of the world and get those that are left locked into this smart prison. That's the way it's going, folks. You know, they want to have the East and West and just different races and different cultures and creeds fight amongst each other and kill each other off because it saves them doing it. This is just the way they operate. Now, we know what this plan's all about, folks. Read the Kalergi plan, the plan to genocide the European people via mass migration. And Australians, a lot of European people in Australia, you know, European roots, European heritage. Most Caucasians have European heritage, folks. So that's who they want to wipe out. I mean, Caucasians built most of the last civilization, most of the Tartarian stuff. And I believe that this is still locked in our psyche. A lot of this knowledge is locked in our psyche. And they don't want us here because we have the ability to free ourselves from their clutches if enough people wake up. That's why they've got to keep us fluoridated and keep us locked into mind control with the television and all the shit they do, folks. They make an extraordinary amount of effort to keep people brainwashed. And that's very inspiring as well when you think the amount of effort they have to go to just to keep people brainwashed and compliant. But people are waking up at an unprecedented rate due to this jab. They move too quickly. And, you know, this is causing a huge pushback. Like I said, you know, they've even got to play into your hands a little bit and give you a little bone now and then by saying things like AstraZeneca has admitted that the jab causes rare side effects. You know, like I said, it's not rare side effects. These are effects of the jab. So, you know, they've got a lot of stuff like this going on. The war in Ukraine, which is, again, a money laundering operation, folks. That's all it is. As I've said before, you know, they send money to the whatever he is, ruling Ukraine. He's an actor, folks. He's a gay comedian actor who's simply playing a part. But he's accepting all his cash, and all his cash is being spent on US weapons companies. So they're just basically laundering the money back to themselves. Of course, all the politicians get kickbacks and stuff. You know, the weapons companies lobby the politicians and blah, blah, blah. This is the way it all works. It's just one big circle jerk where they all share the profits of the United States. They're just stripping the United States bare, stripping it bare of everything, like killing all the food stocks, killed 1.5 million chickens or something in Texas the other day, burning the country out, doing all sorts of stuff, shutting down all the food processing plants, saying that if we don't stop growing food, we're all going to starve. I'm still trying to figure out how this sentence makes sense at all. But this is the sort of stuff they're doing. And while they're doing that, they're sucking all the money out of the economy and sending it over to Ukraine and laundering it back to themselves, while the United States is just completely falling apart. I mean, you look at Ukraine, look at what they're doing there, and look at the United States.
Just a glimpse of walking through Kensington, where you never know who's alive or who's not. Thank you.
absolutely shocking, folks. You know, and even what's going on in Europe, they're saying we've got to protect Ukrainian autonomy. You know, Ukraine has to remain sovereign or the world's lost. But by the same token, they've got all the other countries, Croatia, all these countries, into the EU, taking all their sovereignty away, and now they're even talking about signing them over to the WHO, which means everyone's going to have to have their injections to do anything. See how all this is going to work, folks. But getting back to Ukraine for a second, like I said, they're just money laundering everything in Ukraine. All these weapons companies are sending over their old stock. And what happens when it gets there? It doesn't go out onto the field and be given to all these soldiers, the women and all the people that they're drafting and sending to the front line, and literally trying to kidnap people off the street to send them to the front line. It's absolutely absurd what they're doing to these people, folks. Threatening to bury them alive if they don't go to the front and all sorts of stuff.
Не хочеш нахуй воювати, блядь. Ми зараз тебе нахуй тут прикопаємо.
Really, really bad shit. But they're not giving them any weapons. They're just sending them out there to be killed by Russian soldiers or killed by landmines or even killed by themselves. I mean, if this is the way they're treating people that they're drafting, then who's doing the killing here? What's really going on? It's just a big depopulation puppet show that we're seeing there, folks. But the US weapons companies, when they give Zelensky these blank checks and he spends it on US weapons, all the weapons companies are doing are emptying out their old stock, sending it to Ukraine, and Zelensky's putting it in weapons dumps, and then Russia's coming along and blowing up the weapons dump. Yeah, that was just the other day, a week or two ago, Russia blew up another weapons dump. The question is, why are all these weapons just stored in one place where they can just be all bombed into oblivion if this isn't theatrics, folks? It really is. It's just theatrics. BRICS has done like $260 billion worth of trading in the last few months as well, not using the US dollar. So this is making the US dollar rapidly decline. Everything's losing value, folks, but they're doing it in a way that the people will believe it. Oh, it's the terrible Russia, it's China, it's the war in Ukraine, it's this, it's that. It's just, it's incredible, folks. It's an absolute scam. It really is. You can't trust the media and you can't trust the government, folks. And the media just hijacks everything. Even the government, they hijack everything you say, everything you do. In Germany, they were having protests about everything the government's doing, and the media came in and hijacked the protests and made it about Ukraine and sold that to the people on TV. Check this out.
Da auf der rechten Seite seht ihr jetzt das ZDF-Team, ja, mit der ganzen Kamera und so weiter. Und auf der linken Seite seht ihr diesen einzelnen Mann mit diesem riesengroßen Kriegstreiberplakat, wo etwas draufsteht von mehr Waffen für die Ukraine. Und jetzt passt mal auf, was passiert. Ich spule mal ein kleines bisschen schneller vor, dass man das sieht. Aber du kannst dir dann sehen, dieser Mann wird jetzt genau zu den ganzen Bauerndemonstranten hingestellt, welche sich erstmal alle ganz ungläubig umschauen und auch ganz ungläubig auf dieses Plakat schauen und sich fragen, was macht dieser Mann hier? Wir demonstrieren hier nicht für Waffen, sondern für unseren Biodiesel, ja? Und das ZDF, das hält natürlich volle Pulle seine Kamera drauf und fängt jetzt die Bilder von einer großen Menge ein, welche nur ein einziges Plakat haben, und zwar dieses Plakat für mehr Waffen für die Ukraine.
Yeah, you can't trust anything they say or do, folks. Just move one guy in there with their own little Ukraine sign and then film that for the news and give the people whatever story they want. It's just chronic what they're doing. I don't know why anyone would believe there is any remedy in anything the mainstream has to offer. You know, golden rule of thumb, folks. These people are all barefaced liars. If you're not a barefaced liar, you don't make it as a politician. You don't make it as a media personality, not in the mainstream anyway. If you're not someone who can look at people and tell them barefaced lies directly to their face with absolutely no remorse for the damage that you're causing them, then you'll never make it as a successful politician or as a successful media personality. That's unfortunately the way of the Western world. And even with what's going on with the climate scam, which is all part of it, now Biden is even considering calling a climate emergency.
The White House telling Fox Business it's now considering declaring a national climate emergency. Oh. But that's a climate crisis to you, Mark. The AP, which sets the standards for newsrooms across the country, they're urging Americans to use the term climate crisis to address the current situation. This is all troubling, but If the president declares a climate emergency, what impact does that have?
Well, I mean, this is the serious story of the today. NBC News has reported that if Joe Biden declares a national climate emergency, he would have COVID-like powers under that emergency. And they also compared the emergency powers to the 9/11 emergency powers. The Center for Biological Diversity has estimated Joe Biden would get about 130 wartime-like powers by which to bypass democracy and impose the Green New Deal on America without a single vote of Congress. This is truly this is a Halloween story, not a story for Earth Day. This is a truly frightening story, and he might just be desperate enough to do it. This is being widely reported in the media. The Biden White House is leaking this out. This might happen, and this is going to give Joe Biden these kind of, you want to say the word, dictatorial powers. He doesn't need no stinking democracy to impose the Green New Deal if he does this.
If he calls a climate emergency, all of the COVID guidelines will come back in place, because that's all COVID was. They just worked out the framework, got all the bugs ironed out of it, so now they can flip it over into climate change, and now they're also going to flip it over into the WHO. If people sign on to this WHO treaty, this is an unelected corporate body, run by Tedros, who was actually chased out of Ethiopia on charges and accusations of genocide, and now he's been put in charge of World Health. It's just some kind of joke. And they're just putting it in your face. They're putting everything in your face. Even the election here they had in Croatia, the election on the 17th of August or the 17th of April was actually International Circus Day. They're just putting it in your face. They don't care anymore, folks. Vote for clowns, get a circus. That's what they're doing. You know, elections here are normally on weekends, but this year they had it on a Wednesday. Everyone had to take a day off work and go vote. And International Circus Day. Absolutely incredible. But what they're doing with this smart grid and this WHO treaty, if this comes into play, soon, in order to use your smart wallet or your digital ID or any of this sort of stuff, in order to buy anything, in order to leave your 15-minute zone, well, you won't be able to when they don't want you to anyway, because they'll control all the electric cars. But if you want to start participating in the system, you're going to have to check all the boxes of compliance. You have your social credit, you have your carbon credits, you have your digital ID, you have your digital wallet. And this is your access to the world. And you've got your electric car, which is also digital. So all of this can be controlled from an external source. You're just there with your little digital barrier asking permission to do everything. And in order for your digital wallet to work, of course, and your digital ID to be valid and for you to be able to leave your 15-minute zone, of course you're going to need to be up on your vaccinations. That's the way they'll play it, folks. You're going to have to tick all the boxes in order to get out of your zone. And people buying these electric cars, I mean, as I said way back in the beginning, these cars are going to be used to geofence you into your 15-minute zone. That's what they're going to do. And if you don't like it, they'll simply switch your car off. And a guy has recently found this out. He took his car in to have it serviced, and the map system got updated. And check out what he has to say.
Government's remote control of car use installed on my car with no informed consent. I bought a Hyundai Kona EV 18 months ago, 71 plate, from a dealer. The car went in for a maps upgrade and came back as a write-off for me. They took the opportunity to upgrade the BlueLink linfotainment software, and when I started it up, I was presented with a new screen saying terms and conditions changed. I was bored that day, so I flicked down a few pages and was about to jump out when I read it was now equipped with geofencing and geotiming capabilities. We're talking about anything with an SOS button. My wife's car is a 2016. They can set range limits and time limits remotely. Terms say it's not used without consent unless required by law. The last sentence voids the whole thing.
Yeah, that's everything we've been talking about, folks. That's how they plan to do it. And when you attach your digital wallet and your digital ID and all of this stuff together with this, all these cameras they're putting up, all these ULEZ cameras they're putting up all around England and probably all around Australia, they've probably already got them. This is where it's going. And the digital system is really a bad system that you don't want to get stuck in, folks. And that's what they want to bring in all our countries. Look what they're doing in China with this digital system. They've got barriers between communities and they limit people's ability to do anything. Check this out.
So the latest in this dystopian outrage that is now all of China, apparently, is I once again cannot buy food. A couple days ago, my uncle and my cousin helped me get a cell phone that is linked to a Chinese bank card so that I could buy anything. But now, apparently, it has been flagged for some reason, and I have to pass facial recognition identity verification, which is insane, because all I want to do is just spend my gift card balance on this debit card. I can't believe I'm doing this. I have to open my mouth. Oh my God. Terrifying. Oh. And of course, because it was my cousin who set this up for me, I did not pass verification. I guess it's a good thing that the Chinese app is not racist. But now I once again can't buy any.
Yeah, folks, pretty radical stuff. That's where our societies are headed. Now, how do you get the US or Australia or the UK or anything to agree to a system like that? Well, you do it by imposing this digital system a bit at a time, crashing the economies of these places, overrunning the place with migrants so there's lots of crime, letting the migrants run amok and destroy supermarkets and all sorts of stuff, so you end up having to put doors on the supermarkets and little ID scans on the supermarket doors. All of this stuff is leading towards the same thing. And all of this stuff is creating the excuses they need to put in this digital system. You know, you make society so bad and so horrific to live there, overrun it with migrants, rapes, pillages, plunders all over the place, that it becomes necessary to put all this stuff in place for your protection. That's how they do it, folks. And that's what they're doing all around the world. And if we get into this Chinese digital social credit, carbon credit nightmare that they're creating, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to extricate ourselves. It really is. And it's a mass kill. What can I say? We're under attack. We are under attack from so many different directions, it's not funny. Chemtrails, some of the stuff that's coming down in the chemtrails. I've noticed here the way they do the chemtrails, they have massive spraying. Look, there's one up in the sky there. Look at that. Right as I mention it, folks. They're always here. Can you see that chemtrail up there through the window? I don't know whether you can see that. I guess you can. But, yeah, crazy. This is happening all day, every day. Well, not every day. What they do is they do massive amounts of spraying in the sky for 3 or 4 days, even a week, like massive amounts, put a really dense cloud cover, mist over the sky, and the whole sky is kind of silver. And then they bring in the rain, and it rains for 1 or 2 days, and all of that comes down to the ground, falls all on all your vegetables, and falls into your water supply if you're collecting rainwater or anything like that, falls into the rivers, falls into everything. And then we have normal clouds for a couple of days, and then they start spraying again, and once they've got the sky filled with this silver haze again, they bring on the rain and let it all fall down.
One day I was going through that computer system, which if you want to look it up, it's called an Air Force Form 3952. It is the approval of hazardous materials. I was finding tons and tons of large quantities of aluminum, barium, strontium in the forms of oxides and sulfates. So I started asking questions. I've spent 9 years of my life trying to protect human health, and here we are violating law after law after law. Just sitting here, instead of protecting the people, we are poisoning the people.
Some people, they see those little white lines, assume that it's normal.
Croatia really seems to be under attack. I mean, I'm sure a lot of other countries are as well, but Croatia, they're doing it very, very subtly. As I've said, it's a very community-oriented country, Croatia, a strong sense of family, The police are actually quite tolerant of the people in many ways. I actually had a cop at my gig in Reaker, which was amazing to see. There is actually police who are on the ball with this and know what's going on and even want to come and listen to people like me talk. So very interesting. But they are attacking Croatia in other ways. They want to, you know, shift everybody out of the country and into the town. They've actually been introducing wolves here in southern Croatia without telling anyone. Siberian wolves, apparently, these are longer than other wolves. I mean, I don't really know. I'm not a wolf expert. I can't really tell one wolf from another. A wolf is simply a wolf. But these are wolves that are, apparently they introduced 10 wolves in the local hills. And, of course, they want them to breed. They want them to start terrorizing people's livestock and slowly move people further into cities. They don't want anyone in the country. They want people in the cities where they can control them. And of course, they will then bring in this digital ID and everything that they're doing everywhere else. Different strokes for different folks. That's just the way they've got to do it. But looking at this, as I said, so many people are dying from the jab. So many people are developing turbo cancers. So many people are developing blood clots. And it's really starting to reach epidemic proportions. I mean, we are almost in a state of, we are having a pandemic at the moment. It's a pandemic of sudden death created by an injection which was sold to the public as being a vaccine when it was nothing of the sort. And people are dying in such horrific ways that nurses are literally euthanizing patients because they just don't want to watch them die such agonizing deaths. It's pretty dramatic, folks, what's going on here.
What about vaccine injury, the ones that actually took the shots? What did you see there?
Massive. I didn't know it was possible for a human to die so horrifically and so quickly before they rolled out the mRNA injections. It was insane. I've never seen anything like that. The worst of them were the ones, they called it sepsis, but it was like instant multi-organ failure. Like within hours, patients would die of liver, lung, kidney, all at once failure, respiratory failure. It was like their, some of the records, the emergency crew that found them, it's like their body tried to reject everything. And some of these cases, like their family would be there 30 minutes before, and then within an hour they're dead. And then there were patients coming in with seizures like I've never seen before. We couldn't control some of them. Days patients would be seizing and no medications would stop it, and eventually they kind of had to be put down. They called it encephalitis or encephalopathy. And then later on, they even the coding information organization, AHIMA, admitted COVID-19-associated encephalitis. There were blood clots, strokes. The clots were insane. Never seen clots like that before. Even the interventional radiologists that were going in with, they have angiopathies and, different scopes where they can do like heart interventions and put stents in like a carotid artery if you have a stroke going to your brain. They normally, it's rare to have more than one stent go in, and they were documenting multiple locations all at once. They had heart attack cases that were like that, where they they needed massive amounts of stents that they never needed before. There were people in their 20s that had been hiking that were totally healthy, had been running marathons, that suddenly needed a leg amputated because they had a massive blood clot going from their hip all the way down to their leg, and it couldn't be saved. So that happened. There were some cases of overnight spinal gangrene, which I've never seen before. And you can't amputate, the spine when it goes gangrenous. Normally they cut out tissue that's dying like that, so it prevents further infection, and they didn't know what to do. The only thing they could do was do a basically replace the that part of your spine with an implant. That's the best they could do. Yeah, it was really intense. And I didn't question the vaccines as much as I should have. I started to about the flu shot way back in 2004. But with the pressure to get the COVID-19 shot, I started looking into what it could do. And I knew I didn't want anything to do with this experimental mRNA thing. And when I started looking into the experts that were saying, well, this is what this potential vaccine could do, this is what the research says, I was looking at the vaccine trials and what was happening to those patients and the Guillain-Barré that was happening and the strokes that were happening. And so I kind of knew to look for that when the vaccine came out. And the doctors were, you know, baffled. They weren't connecting the dots. But to me, knowing what the potential causes or potential symptoms of a vaccine injury could be, we 100% had all the things that I just described. But doctors would never tell you that. They would just say it's a stroke, it's a heart attack, it's a blood clot, and they would never connect the two.
Is there anything that would make you take a vaccination of any kind ever again?
They would have to kill me. Nothing. Nothing would make me take it.
Yeah, pretty horrific sort of stuff that's going on, folks. And, of course, who's doing it? Who's done this, folks? Well, there's been some interesting stats that have come in about what people are being most affected by the jab. And have a look at this.
Of incident cases in the control vaccine population. And of course, anything that happens.
Professor John Bell.
mRNA vaccines create spike proteins in the body. These proteins require a pathway to the ACE2 receptors that most of us have in order to generate the so-called antibody. Spike proteins are now shown to cause blood clots, myocarditis, pericarditis, sudden death, and a whole host of autoimmune diseases. A new Japanese study regarding upregulation of spike proteins and who specifically is most and least at risk of developing blood clots and other side effects.
I'm just going to tell you the facts. If you look at that paper, the people that have the most upregulation of the ACE2 pathway, because some of this is kind of surprising, are white Caucasians from Europe, and it's about 56% upregulated in those people, as well as in non-African blacks. 56% upregulation of the ACE2 pathway. Then it drops down to 39% in African blacks. And then it drops way down to 10% upregulation in Asians. And then it drops down to zero. And the zero upregulation are two groups, the Amish and the Ashkenazi Jews. There it is. I mean, I'm throwing that out. You can just, that's the fact.
Quite remarkable, isn't it, folks? It's affecting everybody except Ashkenazi Jews. And I even question the whole Ashkenazi Jew thing. I think these are probably Khazarians. I mean, if you look at even the work of Shlomo Sand, who wrote a book called The Invention of the Jewish People, and he wrote a book called The Invention of the Land of Israel, From Holy Land to Homeland. And quite an interesting guy. He teaches history at Tel Aviv University, and all of the Jews don't like him because he's kind of telling the world what's really going on here. And he says there are no Jewish people. It's simply a motley crew of people that have taken on this faith. And the people that you are referring to are actually Khazars. And he says that there was no exodus from Israel as well, that they never went into Europe. Interesting. He does seem to support the Khazarian theory. I mean, I've looked at this for many, many years and it suggested that Khazarian theory is true. It's difficult to know because, I mean, the only real information we've got about it comes from a book by a guy called Arthur Koestler, who's a Jew, so you don't know whether to even trust him. But you look at the people who govern Israel, Romanians, Polish people, Australian people, Irish people, all claiming to be Jews. None of them are Semites. They're generally from European heritage. None of them are dark-skinned and brown-eyed. They're all white-skinned Europeans. So this would lend credence to the Khazarian theory as well. So even saying Ashkenazi Jews, probably Khazarians, because, like I said, there are no real Jewish people. Even if you read the Bible, it says in Exodus that the people who left Egypt and fled to Canaan, who called themselves Judean or Judahites, because they followed the same teachings of the man who came out of the tribe of Judea. Even the Bible says that these were a mixed group of people. These were Mongolians, these were Turkish, they were all sorts of people. They weren't a particular race. So the whole concept of the Jewish race doesn't really make a lot of sense. But when you bring Khazarians into it and the Khazar race, well, it does begin to make sense. And it also would explain why all these people look like white-skinned Europeans. And they've got no ties to the land of Israel at all. And they are certainly not Israelites, because none of them believe in the one true God. Or if they do, it's not the sort of God that you would want to have anything to do with. So yeah, it's an interesting story, but that is really telling, folks. There's been so much information to come out to say that every part of the pandemic was Jewish. It was all run by these people. And now you see that this is why none of these are having any sudden deaths in Israel, because they are not susceptible to what they put in the jab. And they even talked about this back in 1992, the good old Economist again. You look at the cover of The Economist in 1992, and it talks about modifying your DNA. So yeah, folks, they've had this plan in place for quite a long time. And as I said, they're depopulating 90% of the world and moving the rest into this smart prison. And how long is it going to be before it's too much of a hassle to be carrying a phone around and all sorts of stuff like that? And then Elon Musk, our savior that so many people think, because he gave us free speech on X, wants to hook you up to neural mesh, the neural link, and won't that be interesting?
Neuralink starts with a surgeon drilling a hole in your head about the size of a coin. Then a robotic arm carefully inserts the ultra-thin, flexible threads into your brain. These threads are finer than a strand of hair and are equipped with electrodes that directly interact with the cells in your brain. This implant is capable of interpreting your thoughts and applying them to real-life actions.
Oh yeah, folks, where do I sign up? Please drill a hole into my head and put in a little metal plate whereby I can be mind controlled and have everybody else read my thoughts. I mean, absolutely incredible, folks, incredible. Read my thoughts. Imagine where that would go if you could actually access everybody's thoughts. I mean, there's so many crazy people in the world. It'd be so confusing. It would be a freaking nightmare having access to other people's thoughts. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy where they want to take this. This is like torture, folks. They're kind of torturing the whole human race by everything they're doing. And it's ridiculous. I mean, I just think of the world that we had and what we could actually do. It does become a little frustrating and a little disturbing when you think about it. You know, we are capable of so much. We really are. And if we had the freedom to even think clearly, I just imagine what we could do. And I think we did. I mean, I think we were once incredible. And I still think we have the potential to be that way if we can just see what's coming and shake off the chains. You don't want to get involved in this smart grid, folks. And you don't want to let them ban food and all the stuff you're doing as well. They want to feed you mealworms and insects and all this sort of stuff. I even saw some report the other day where they want to form steaks and meat and food from human feces. And I haven't been able to debunk it yet. A few other people have been looking at this as well and trying to find that it's a hoax. But no, it would seem some Japanese scientist has found a way of turning your turds into burgers. Wouldn't that be wonderful, folks? I mean, how much sustenance do you think will be in that? You'll literally need to eat insects and worms and maggots and larvae just to get some form of real protein. This is not a good future that they're heading us into, folks. But they're really going hard. They actually employed 87,000 new agricultural police in China who are going around China and basically destroying gardens that are growing anything that is not government approved. You've got to have government approved everything now, folks. It's ridiculous. I saw a report the other day that said that it's actually illegal in America to show school children educational books that are pre-1984. What's that all about? I guess there's no LGBTQ stuff in there. Really pushing the LGBTQ in Australia as well, all this gender identity rubbish that they're trying to push. I mean, there's only two genders, folks. If people are homosexual, hey, be homosexual, be proud of it, whatever. I don't care. But don't try to make me think that there are more than two genders. And if you think there are more than two genders, Please don't try to force your insanity onto me and make me think according to your mental disorder, because that's what it is. Of course, all this has been called hate speech now. Apparently new hate speech laws in the United States as well, folks. It's now getting harder and harder to criticize the genocide of Palestine, harder and harder to criticize the rogue state of Israel, because pretty well everything you say against these people is being termed anti-Semitic. This is ridiculous. I mean, they let all the protests go on for Palestine for so long, and now they are really coming down and hammering these people that are protesting for Palestine, that are not supporting the Israeli genocide of Palestine, calling them pro-Hamas supporters, of course, when they're not. No one's supporting Hamas. Everyone is simply anti-genocide. And that's what real human beings do. And hold your ground with all this, folks. I mean, it's got to be done. These protests have got to keep going. And boycott all Israeli products that you can. I think it's a really good idea. Apparently, there's been an arrest warrant issued by the ICC for Benjamin Netanyahu as well, and he may be worried about it. I mean, whether this is true or not, whether we can trust the ICC even, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's one big puppet show as far as I can see. But these sorts of things throw out little bones for people, little carrots and little bits of hope for people, so they think they don't have to do anything in their own community. When what we do in our own community is what makes most of the difference. It really is. I mean, we have to stand up against this smart prison. Every country on earth needs to stand up against this digital ID, stand up against this digital currency, not buy electric vehicles, throw any smart devices you have away. I've been saying for years, I had at the bottom of every video that I've done for the last 10 years, it said, throw away your smartphone. It's so important that people stop using these things and stop using these smart devices. The geo-tracking capabilities of a smartphone, I mean, it all ties in with your electric car and all this sort of stuff. But people have been taught climate change is real. They've been taught that they've got to have e-vehicles, you know, electric vehicles. These things are 80 times more polluted than any petrol vehicles. And petrol could burn cleanly. Petrol is a very, very cheap fuel. None of the oil wells have ever run dry. They're all replenished. It should be the cheapest fuel on earth, and we should be able to burn it cleanly. There's plenty of ways to do this so it is non-pollutive, and everything would be fine. But oh no, we've got to head towards carbon zero. And as I said before, folks, we are actually carbon-based life forms. You don't want carbon zero. Carbon is what makes trees grow. Actually, I got given this shirt while I was in Zagreb. This is a shirt that was given to me by someone who came to the gig. It's my CO2 shirt. As you can see, leaves grow from CO2. A great little shirt that someone gave me, and I quite like it. So I'm going to be wearing this on a few walk and talks and when I'm out and about. Because, yeah, CO2 is our friend. There's actually a CO2 shortage in Australia and New Zealand at the moment. And without CO2, we don't have anything. We don't have any life at all. We are carbon-based life forms, and we are the carbon that they want to remove. It's important for people to understand this, folks. It really is. You know, and like I said, the way they're going to do it, 100,000 migrants a month into Australia, get the people fighting against each other, get society to break itself down, and then come in and clean up the rest. This has always been the plan. And it's been done by these Khazars, these people who call themselves Jews, who Jesus Christ said are the Jews who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. If you believe the Bible and Christ existed and all this sort of stuff, well, perhaps you people should do your due diligence, because there's so many Christians that are supporting the state of Israel, and Israel is not a state. Israel is a mindset. Israel was Jacob, changed his name, or the angel changed his name to Israel, and became those who thought like Jacob, now called Israel, were called Israelites because they believed in the one true God. It's nothing to do with a state. These people were sent to wander, and according to the real Jews, that's what they're doing. They're not supposed to have a nation. They're simply supposed to believe in the one true God. That's what a true Israelite does. It has nothing to do with a race. It's not an ethnicity. It's not a state. So these Christians who are supporting the state of Israel are actually supporting the synagogue of Satan. They're supporting a genocide. And they're not supporting the real Jews. They're not supporting the real Israel. They are simply playing into the hands of the puppeteers. It's important for people to see this. I mean, Christians really need to wake up. They really do. A lot of them don't know what their religion is actually leading them to. Yeah, if they followed the actual religion, the actual teachings of Christ, well, perhaps they might do something or learn something. But they don't. They read the whole thing and they go for what the church says and what the evangelist priest says. We must support Israel. We must support Israel. You know, well, Jesus Christ didn't say that. Jesus Christ said these people are the synagogue of Satan. And if that's the faith that you're following, perhaps you need to listen to his words. Might make a little bit more sense than listening to the puppet priest that they put in there to lead you astray. Just a suggestion. Yeah, unreal, folks, unreal. Oh, something else, the line, remember the line in Saudi Arabia, that big long sea they want to create, 200 kilometres long, 700 metres high, supposed to be home for like 6 million people or 2 million people or some ridiculous amount of people. That seems to be failing rapidly as well.
Neom the Line is a 170-kilometer long city being built in the deserts of Saudi Arabia that was supposed to cost $200 billion to build. It'll accommodate 9 million people in a massive structure that is 200 meters wide and 500 meters tall. It's conveniently located in an allegedly empty area of desert. The line has been pitched as a smart city, complete with extreme technology, including all of the modern features that you would want, like an artificial moon, robot dinosaurs, flying cars, human gene editing, and glow-in-the-dark sand, amongst many other attractions. According to a Wall Street Journal article about the project, this corner of Saudi Arabia is so barren that the only abundant resources that a group of consultants could identify were sunlight and unlimited access to salt water. Now, let's not be negative about this. Location is not the only consideration in a real estate project. I'm reliably told location is only one of the three important factors. There are at least two other important factors that need to be considered. Now, I won't lie, I'm a bit nervous about making this video, and I hope that nothing I say is viewed as criticism. I'm really just telling you the news about the scaling back of this obviously great project. You might be aware that things didn't work out very well for the last guy who questioned the wisdom of building a 170-kilometre long, 200-metre wide city in a previously overlooked prime location.
Neom project, this futuristic city, that he is planning to invest $500 billion in it. What if it goes wrong? It could bankrupt the country.
But no one's allowed to criticise it.
But no one allowed to write an objective a piece in any newspaper saying...
I might have to lie low for a while after this video is released, and obviously I won't be accepting any embassy invitations no matter how many Ferrero Rochers I'm offered.
The ambassador's receptions are noted in society for their host's exquisite taste.
You're really spoiling us.
Now, I know that I've mentioned this project in prior videos, and I hope that nothing from those videos will be misinterpreted as criticism. And if the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund hadn't blown the money on SoftBank, they would have blown it on Credit Suisse or Neom, the 110-mile-long city that they're building, which guarantees that inhabitants are always the maximum distance from wherever they need to go at any point in time. Oh, okay, yeah, so that could sound like criticism, but I'm not even sure if that was even me. It might have been made using AI. I don't really even cover topics like that on this channel. My videos, as regular viewers know, are mostly about rap and rapping, with my goal being to be the number one crypto nerd gangster rap channel on YouTube. But sometimes I do get distracted by other topics. But anyhow, Bloomberg reported this week that Saudi Arabia is scaling back its medium-term ambitions for Neom the Line. They say that the pullback comes as the kingdom's sovereign wealth fund has yet to approve Neom's 2024 budget and that the financial realities of the trillions of dollars of investment are starting to cause concern at the highest levels of the Saudi government as it tries to fulfill its ambitious Vision 2030 program to diversify the kingdom's economy away from fossil fuels. Bloomberg reports that the Saudi sovereign wealth fund's cash reserves have fallen to $15 billion as of September, the lowest level since 2020. The Line City, according to the latest reports, is now only expected to extend 2.4 kilometres and house 300,000 people by the end of the decade. This is a 98.6% reduction from the initial plans, so it's still going ahead, it'll just be a little bit smaller than had been hoped for. While building an unusually densely populated 170 kilometer long city that's as tall as some of the tallest buildings in the world in what is described as a harsh, dry desert with great temperature extremes strikes me as a great idea, other people have not been as positive about these plans.
Yeah, I like the way he put that. And that's kind of good to see, because that would have been the ultimate 15-minute prison. That would have been the ultimate smart city, the ultimate prison that they would be putting people in. And it doesn't surprise me that it's failing. I mean, a ridiculous spot to put it, an awful lot of money to build this thing as well. And just the whole concept is kind of ridiculous. It looked great on screen, though, when they first put it out, didn't it? It looked so easy. They're just going to do it according to the graphic. You know, the graphic just sort of sprung out of nowhere. And they think they can just go and do this sort of stuff in one of the harshest environments in the world. Pretty remarkable, folks. But it's good to see that it's failing. But, you know, everything's failing, really. That's why they're pushing so hard and propagandizing people so much. You notice in the United States they're saying there's massive job growth now. Biden's so good, there's more job growth now than there ever was. Well, it's because you killed most of the population and you closed most of the businesses, and now you're bringing in all these migrants and the whole thing is contrived. It's remarkable that people would believe any of this stuff, but that's the way they go with it. And as I said earlier, folks, leading the way with all of this, this mass surveillance, smart system, and even mass stupidity, is unfortunately my home country of Australia. They are really going hell for leather in that country. And even the Prime Minister the other day, he got upset at people making memes about him. You probably saw this. I mean, it's hilarious. This guy actually went on and complained, had a little whimper, you know, please don't make memes about me, and how pleased he was that X had taken down a bunch of memes.
Media platforms have a responsibility to make sure that misinformation isn't got out there. I noticed today, for example, on the way up here, they've removed various sites that were up containing fake images of myself superimposed on other people. That's the sort of thing that is going on social media. Social media has a responsibility to do the right thing here.
Did you catch up with Premier Daniel Wayne?
And the result of him saying that was a literal tsunami of memes of Anthony Albanese. He's just such an idiot, this guy. Absolute idiot, thinking he can arrest Elon Musk and putting all this stuff. He's literally a clown. And that was great as well, that little clown video meme. I mean, this is what the guy deserves. He's such a fool. He's such an embarrassment. Little beta male, whimpering that he's getting memes made about him. Yeah, you're a prime minister of a country. Of course people are going to joke about you. Of course they're going to post cartoons about you. It goes with the territory. For God's sake, I have memes made about me, and I'm just a nobody. So, you know, it's incredible, folks. But he's the laughing stock of the world. Australia is literally the laughing stock of so much of the world at the moment. but especially Anthony Albanese. He's just an absolute fool. So which means, yeah, they're going to sort of badmouth him and make him look bad so they can vote the other side of the coin in for a while, and we'll have the Labor government instead of the Liberal government, and that will be Peter Dutton, who's an ex-cop and is an absolute psychopathic parasite as well. He actually runs a lot of daycare centres around Brisbane as well. I would question how many children go missing in Brisbane and what these daycare centres have to do with that, of course, because this is what everything's about, is the harvest of children through this whole society. You're living in a people farm, folks. I've been saying for many years, you're living in a people farm. 8 million children go missing every year. How do you think this happens, and who do you think does this? Look at the Beaumont kids. Look at all the stuff that's gone on in Australia. Look at the badges of some of the police. So what's this doing on their badges? They're showing you that they're all involved. The police are who traffics the children. The police are there to keep you in line and to protect the politicians and protect the system. That's what they're for. Speaking of that, Jason Brashears was arrested the other day as well for failing to register his girlfriend's place as somewhere that he was staying. Perhaps he forgot to do it, I don't know. But apparently he was snitched on by a YouTube user or something, someone who doesn't like him, one of his rivals on YouTube. I don't know who it was. But there's been a few, you know, parody videos and things made about this sort of stuff. Pretty disgusting, folks. Someone who's claiming to stand for freedom, who's making YouTube videos about the truth, apparently, or if that's what they're making them about, has literally snitched on a fellow American because he doesn't like what he's saying or something. This is the lowest of the low, folks. People who turn other people into the police. This is the lowest of the low. I mean, I've had people post on my channel, they've been doxing my son, doxing me, making all sorts of accusations about me, all sorts of stuff. I would never report them to the police. I would never start making videos back, you know, doing tit for tat, sort of attacking people. I'd never do anything like that because it's counterproductive. And it doesn't matter what anybody did to me, I would never turn them over to the clutches of this system. You know, if they did something bad enough to me, if they hurt someone in my family, I'd go and take care of them myself. I wouldn't call the police on them. I'd take care of it myself. I would never turn anybody, never turn another human being over to the clutches of the system. Never put them in the prison system, which is simply a rape camp. I would never report them to government. I would never do any of that because I think the system itself is what causes all of these problems. You know, if I ever have a problem with anyone, I'll take care of it myself. That's just the sort of person I am. And whoever did this to Jason, it's quite disgusting of you to do so. You've literally shown yourself to be a non-human and shown yourself to not have any respect for what is good, what is right, what is wholesome. Doesn't matter whether you disagree with Jason's ideas or whether you guys have been fighting or whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. Get over it. It's all childish anyway. You know, we've got far bigger fish to fry. We, you know, while you're reporting Jason to the police, I'd just like to point out that your government is slowly killing you and your family, and your government wants you dead. That's what's going on in your country, and all this little tit-tat stuff that you're doing is really not helping the matter. You know, we're facing a worldwide genocide, a worldwide genocide by injection, by starvation, by electronic prison, by even the smart devices that are causing so much cancer in people and irradiating people. Like I said, people wearing wireless headphones, it's like having two Wi-Fi routers strapped to your head, to each ear, so four Wi-Fi routers strapped to your head, and smart watches that are pumping radiation into your bloodstream. So many things that we're facing, and people have the audacity and the pettiness to go on and put other people into the police just because they can. Crazy stuff, folks. People have got no concept of what we're facing here. They've got no concept of reality. They've got no concept of themselves, no concept of being human. It's really kind of embarrassing, folks. It really is. Look, I think that's about all I got on my list here, folks. That's about all I have to say. I think I've covered pretty well all of it. We're heading for a pretty crazy future. We really are. And it's important that people pay attention. All of the talks that I've done in Croatia have been an attempt to inspire people to stand up and call things out for what they are. I still think, you know, through people's mandates and things, we can do this. And I'm not even suggesting that the people's mandates will work. You know, but if you can notice that 80% of the people out there actually think the system is real. They petition their government. You know, a lot of people who are asleep will still petition their government thinking the petition is going to do something. It doesn't. It simply tells these politicians how you feel, what you would like them to do. Doesn't mean they have to do it. But a people's mandate, I mean, they push mandates on us all the time, and these are apparently a government of the people. And the reason I'm suggesting people's mandates is because, like I said, 80% of the people out there, Joe Public, believe the system's real. You start protesting, doing these marches, doing these protests and things, they just think you're annoying because the media is telling them that's what they need to think. But if you run out of people's mandate and you get a few hundred thousand signatures on it, we the people hereby mandate that you do the following, perform the following actions. You have 30 days to comply. You know, these actions could be something like not signing on to the WHO treaty, to roll back the COVID restrictions, roll back the smart grid, the digital ID, the digital currency, reinstall cash machines, all this sort of stuff. Put anything you want in there. You know, you could have a set of things that you want the government to do, and these aren't requests. This is a mandate. You are our representatives, and we the people require you to do this, to perform these actions. We are mandated to perform these actions. If you don't comply, you know, you have 30 days to comply. If you don't comply, then you will have abdicated your privilege to govern, and we will express a loss of confidence in your ability to govern and take steps to dissolve this government and hold a new election amongst ourselves. You could do this, and you could do it in a way that is within the legal framework the Joe Public out there believes in. And, you know, honestly, if you do it this way, legally, they have a duty to comply. If they don't, they're in abuse of office, they're in breach of trust, they've committed crimes if they don't comply. I don't think they will. The media will spin it, and they'll probably say this is some sort of a joke or whatever. But if you can do this in such a way that Joe Public actually sees it and they see the system they believe in being used in a legal way to try to affect their lives in a positive manner, and the government doesn't do it, well, you might succeed in waking a good bunch of them up. I mean, half or a third, even a quarter of them. If we get a quarter or a third of Joe Publics out there to actually wake up to the fact that this system is corrupt, then we have a real hope at success in this. But, you know, you've got to use things that they can identify with. You can go there and scream conspiracy theory and climate change is a fraud and the Holocaust is a hoax and all sorts of stuff all you like. Run down the street with signs and make videos and put all this stuff out to people as much as you want. Not to say, oh, it's your conspiracy theorist. But if you can use the system that they believe in to put forth some sort of a document suggesting what I just said, and they see that it all works within the legal framework and it's actually a positive thing and would be a positive thing for them, and then the government doesn't do it, perhaps they will finally see that this world is run by a criminal class. And government is a scam. The whole thing is a scam. It's just a trick for you to give your authority away. And they just make it up as they go along. I mean, any government that we've got in a Western country, any democratic government, and democracy is simply a modern word for communism, It's total control. Democracy is mob rule, rule by the masses. And all you got to do is keep the majority of people in cities and feed them bullshit, and they're the ones who vote. And if so, of course, you're going to have this corrupt system in place. That's how it works. That's how democracy works. In a democracy, 51% of the people can control the lives of 49% of the people. All you got to do is make sure this 51% of the people believes in your bullshit. And that's what democracy is, folks. So it's the worst form of government that we could possibly have. And all of these Western democracies, the thing about them is they all claim that they get their power from the people. You know, the people give us the power to exercise these laws and do these things. But I don't have the power to do any of this stuff that they do to me and to my friends even. I mean, I don't have the power to extort money from one of the people I know and then tell them that if they don't pay me my extortion money, I'm going to get another one of my friends to go beat them up and put them in a cage. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the legal ability to do that. I don't have the lawful ability to do that. And yet the government claims to get that power from me. But how can I delegate power that I don't have to somebody else? I can't. They just make it up as they go along. I mean, I've said this, been saying this for like 10 years. that it's all a fraud. They just make it up as they go along. They get into that office and they give themselves powers they are not entitled to from that office. This is called abuse of office. And this is what all of our politicians do. And somehow through the whole process, they've tricked people into believing that they are our rulers when they're not. They're supposed to be there to represent us and do what we want. They're supposed to be there as the representatives of the people, the managers of infrastructure. That's all government is supposed to be. And it has dramatically stepped off that path. It's far removed from anything it was ever designed to be, or anything we were told that it was anyway. Of course, it's not removed from what it was designed to be. It was always designed to be a control system, and it very much is. But this is the great revealing, folks. This is the apocalypse. We can see the workings of the mechanism now, and it's a real opportunity for us to fix this system. We just got to approach things in the right way, not move into their fear, not move into their paranoia, not move into everything they're moving us into, because, you know, like I said, they really want to pit race against each other, religion against each other, people against each other. They want us all to just freak out, argue about everything, and wipe each other out so they can come in and clean up the mess and enslave those that are left into their smart digital prison. And that's always been the plan. Yeah, and we cannot allow this to happen. We really can't. Now, those of us with children, those of us with any thought or mind for the future of all, simply cannot stand by and allow this to happen. It's not acceptable. It's that simple. But it is going to happen unless we stand up. There's nobody you can vote in. There's nobody you can vote out. There is no political remedy to this system. The only remedy is awakening the minds of as many people as you can and standing as one species in integrity. All of this system is designed to take that away from you. It's designed to take you out of your heart, get you stressed, get you paranoid, get you fearing everything, fearing climate change, fearing that you're going to be robbed, and fearing the guy down the street, fearing all the migrants, you know. And yeah, it's been very cleverly played. But again, we're seeing the apocalypse. We're seeing the system breaking down, and we're seeing the great revealing of how the system works. And with that comes huge opportunity for freedom. All you got to do is stand in integrity, folks. You can, even with some of the migrants that are coming in, I'm sure there's a lot of really bad people, but there's probably some good people as well. And you know, they are as much victims in all of this as we are. The people whose countries are being overrun with migrants, I mean, the people, look what was done to their countries in Africa for a start, and now they've been displaced and brought to European countries with the promise of this and the promise of that, which they're never going to get. And, you know, a lot of them are just out on the street wondering what it's all about. And they come from completely different cultures. They're totally out of their element, and they don't know what they're dealing with, and we don't know what we're dealing with. Nobody knows what anybody's dealing with, and this is going to go the way it's going to go. But, you know, you can't really hate the people. I mean, sure, they should be sent back to their own countries, and then a lot of aid should be sent to those countries to fix them up from how we destroyed them. I mean, most of them were destroyed by the West. That's unfortunate, but it's true. Of course, they're going to blame the white people when it isn't the white people. It's the governments around the world that have done this altogether. But we've really got to see what's happening here, folks. We're heading hell for leather straight off a cliff if we don't pay attention. And the only way to change things is by changing what's in your heart and applying yourself to the world. Again, this is why I'm doing this tour in Croatia. And what I'm trying to say to the people in Croatia is that you've got a small enough population here that you could actually stand up and be a shining light for all of Europe if you really wanted to. There's other countries as well. Hungary is standing up against the system. It's not introducing the smart grid. It's not letting the migrants in. Well, maybe it is introducing the smart grid, I don't know. But it's not letting the migrants in. But then again, the head of Hungary is one of the guys from the World Economic Forum, and he hangs out with all the wrong people, but he's doing the right thing in some ways. It's kind of crazy. You've got Colombia is now saying it's going to several ties with Israel, but again, you've got the Colombian government has been vaccinated against people, and it's still going along with the agenda anyway. So there's so much theatrics going on here, and ultimately we've got to stop believing in politics in any way, shape or form. Stop believing that politicians are going to be able to bring you remedy, because they're not. That's not what politicians are for. They're there to support the system and to keep the system running and make sure you are still subservient to the system. There's no remedy in politics, folks. You know, everything this system does, I've said so many times before, it causes you to step outside your moral compass. We all know what's right. We know what's right and wrong. If you say that you don't, you're lying to yourself. We all know what is right and what is wrong. We all know what it means to stand in integrity. And if you can always stand in that and not comply with any legislation which causes you to step outside that, then we change the world. And if you are in integrity, if you believe in yourself, you believe in people, and you believe in this world, then all you got to do is look at what the politicians are doing to realize this is a crime family. It's a criminal cabal. All of them. The whole concept of the EU, the removing of sovereignty, the signing over of everybody to the World Health Organization when no one wants it, the digital ID that no one wants. Of course, some people do because they think the world's so dangerous. There's so much crime on the streets. But of course, all of this has been contrived. You know, these little guys with small hats have been doing all this, folks. Whether there's something above that, whether you want to believe in aliens or missing land or underground people or whatever you want to believe, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Stop arguing about all that. Realize what's happening right here, right now, at your back door. Who's doing it on the surface of the earth here? Who is in control of all this that's going on? The fact that this jab isn't affecting them. You know, and they're partying, they're having all sorts of great stuff going on over there. The people in Israel are really protesting Bibi Netanyahu as well as this ICC arrest warrant going out on him. But what they're protesting Bibi Netanyahu about is that he hasn't genocided enough of Gaza. He hasn't gone into Rafah to rescue the hostages. I don't even think there are any hostages, folks. It isn't about any of that. It's about commandeering the land. It's about controlling Gaza and exterminating the Palestinian people, who are the real Semites of the area. Yeah, not the people calling themselves Jews. They're simply not. And this has been proven as well by John Hopkins Institute recently. Not that I trust the John Hopkins Institute. I mean, there's so much bullshit out there, folks. But even with that, though, I mean, you look at it, they're putting everything against everybody and giving you so much to think about at the one time. So no one's noticing this smart prison going out and coming into place underneath everything they're doing. They're not really talking about the amount of people that are dying from this injection. And again, you know, it's really subtle with the smart prison, like that guy going and getting his car updated, and suddenly he gets a map update, and suddenly he finds out he's geofenced. And as you said to him, now the car's a write-off. He doesn't even want to use it. And why would you? But of course, they're making it so soon, you'll have to, because you'll need to for your carbon points. But all this stuff, I mean, if we don't sign up for the digital ID, if we continue to use cash in everything we do, that's what everyone in the Netherlands should be just using cash. I mean, I suppose they've taken out all the cash machines, so you probably can't. But, you know, you've got to keep this in play. You've got to not allow them to bring this smart prison in place over your country. And if they do, well, the government's in abuse of trust. The government is waging an attack against its people. And that's what's happening all around the world, folks. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. I've been talking long enough. I'm going to leave you with a talk by that beautiful woman from the Netherlands, Eva van Dingerbroek, I think her name is. And a very, very poignant talk that she gave in Hungary. And I think it's very relevant. And whatever you think of her, a lot of people say, oh, she's controlled opposition. Well, I don't know. If she's controlled opposition, she's saying the right thing. I hear everybody's controlled opposition these days, folks. I really do. And I think there are certain people who are, you know, half awake. I think she is not completely awake. She's probably not really aware of what's really going on. But she's certainly aware of the white replacement that is happening in Europe. And she delivered a very, very poignant speech to the council, I believe, at some meeting in Hungary. And it actually got 45 million views in 2 days, which is really good to see. And that shows how many people are actually waking up to what's going on. So I'm going to leave you with that to check out. It's about 10 or 12 minutes long, and it's really worth listening to. And I'd also like to send out the same thanks that I send out to everybody all the time. Thank you for anybody who's ever sent me a kind email or made a contribution to the website. Thank you to everybody who's standing up and speaking out and doing what they can to awaken the world. Thank you to everybody who takes the information that I share and other people share and actually apply it to the community that they're living in. It's really important that we do, folks. It's important for people to see that we are the ones we've been waiting for. We have the answer. And if we stand up and start respecting each other, put all our stuff down, it doesn't matter whether you disagree with someone, doesn't matter whether you're arguing or fighting with someone, don't put them into the police. and don't put your attentions and energy where it doesn't belong. Put your energy into freedom. If we all do this, then we got this. You can work out your differences with other people later. But we've really got to stand up to the plate, folks. We've really got to address this situation. Because if we don't, it's just going to get crazier and crazier, if it hasn't already. I mean, it's pretty nuts now, folks, with doctors literally euthanizing people because they don't want to leave them sitting there seizing for days and have them slowly die. I mean, the brutality of this jab, the brutality of what these people have done and the way they do it. If they want to just kill people, they can do it. But no, they're really having an enormous amount of fun while they're doing it. Now, these people, the way they torture the children in Gaza and torture the people in Gaza, spread the genocide out for as long as they can, keep baby booties so they can sniff of their victims. I mean, really, really sick stuff, folks. And they're really enjoying this. And they don't intend to stop. The only people who are going to stop it is us. And I think it's really important that people realize that and stand up for themselves. But again, thank you to everybody who's ever helped, folks. It's really needed, and I really appreciate it. And now I'm going to leave you with this talk, and I'll look forward to seeing you again soon in Lakesh.
Hello, Hungary. Hello, Budapest. Hello, fellow Europeans and American friends. Thank you so much for having me. Allow me to skip formalities for a moment and dive right into a subject that is not so cheerful, but very, very necessary to discuss. Let me walk you through the past 7 days in Europe. This week, in Stockholm, three elderly women in their 70s were stabbed in broad daylight on the streets. In London, four people were stabbed in a time span of just 42 hours. In Paris, hundreds of Afghan migrants took to the street to riot. And in Brigelot, also in France, yet another church was burned down to the ground. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just a few incidents in just a couple of days on our beautiful continent. But we all know that these incidents aren't incidents anymore. If there's one thing that's for sure, is that we know, and our governments also know, that there is a link between mass migration and crime. In the Dutch city of Dordrecht, something interesting happened the other day. They announced, and this is a small city in the Netherlands, in my home country, that a new asylum center will be put in that little town. And what did the municipality do? They said, we are going to offer citizens who live in the vicinity of this center €1,000 to take extra safety measures. Our new reality in Europe consists of frequent rapes, stabbings, killings, murders, shootings, even beheadings. But let me be clear about one thing. This did not used to happen before. This is a newly imported problem. Samuel P. Huntington predicted this over 25 years ago when he wrote, and I quote, "In the new world of mass migration, the most pervasive, important, and dangerous conflicts will not be between the social classes. They will not be between the rich and the poor. They will be between peoples belonging to different cultural entities. Tribal wars and ethnic conflicts will occur within civilizations." Well, boy, was he right. And the worst part is, we as a society seem to have become indifferent to it. When another white boy or a white girl dies at the hand of an immigrant, we might shake our head, we might let out a sigh, we might even get angry for a minute or two, and then we go on with our lives. We offer the family thoughts and prayers, but nothing ever changes. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that say about us? This is the sign, this is a response of a society that has already given up, a society that has already accepted its defeat. But is this true? Have we given up? Do we really accept the new reality that our globalist leaders have in mind for us? I know one thing for sure, and that is that if nothing changes, if we don't start to seriously fight for our continent, for our religion, for our people, our countries, then this time that we live in will go down in history as the time in which Western nations no longer had to get invaded by hostile armies in order to be conquered. This time will then go down in history as the period in which the invader was actively invited in by a corrupt elite. And not only did this corrupt elite invite the enemy in, they made the native population pay for it too. Everyone who has eyes can see it. The native, white, Christian, European population is being replaced at an ever-accelerating rate. Let me back this up for you with some statistics from my home country. Let's take Amsterdam, the capital. Amsterdam currently consists of 56% migrants. The Hague, 58% migrants. Rotterdam, almost 60% migrants. And of course, most of these immigrants come from non-Christian, non-Western, African and Middle Eastern countries. Conclusion, the Dutch population is already outnumbered in the majority of our cities. But let's look onwards. London, 54% migrants. Again, conclusion, native population outnumbered. Brussels, color me shocked, 70% migrants. Conclusion, native population majorly outnumbered. And other Europeans will, of course, follow suit soon if they haven't already. So I'm going to draw the forbidden conclusion here. The Great Replacement Theory is no longer a theory. It's reality. And what's interesting about replacement is that the establishment will either deny its existence, or when they admit to it, they say that it's a good thing that the native European population is soon no longer a majority on its own continent. Dutch national disgrace and dubbed climate pope Frans Timmermans already stated in 2015 that diversity is humanity's destiny and that Europe will be diverse. And of course, by now, I think we all know what they mean with the word diversity. It means less white people, less of you. Imagine this in an Asian or an African country. Imagine their leaders rejoicing in the fact that their people will soon no longer be a majority in their own country. Absolutely unthinkable, unimaginable. So what in the world is wrong with our leaders? The underlying sentiment of what they say is always the same. Our establishment claims that white people are evil and that our history is somehow fundamentally different from that of others. Consciously or unconsciously, they have sucked up the lies and the anti-white dogmas of the neo-Marxist critical race theory. That's why the totalitarians in Brussels are trying to force you, the Hungarian people, a sovereign nation, to accept immigrants despite the fact that the population has said no and so has the government. But make no mistake, the majority of the Dutch people haven't asked for this either. Just like Brussels is forcing Hungary to accept these hordes of immigrants, they are doing the same now even in the smallest of towns in the Netherlands. No part may remain Dutch in the traditional sense of the word. No part of Europe may remain European. And it's not difficult to understand why. If the old Europe still exists in certain places, then people will be able to compare the new Europe to the old, and newsflash, they will prefer the old. That's why the Eurocrats hate Hungary so much. And their message is clear. Our way of life, our Christian religion, our nations, they have to go, without exception. Their vision of the future is the neoliberal, unrecognizable Europe, where every city becomes kind of like Brussels. Ugly, dirty, unsafe, zero social cohesion, where the buildings are constantly under construction and they never ever seem to finish, and even when they do, the end result is uglier somehow than what they started with. And what are we left with? A permanent state of isolation, confusion, and disorientation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the New World Order. So what's the antidote? A strong Christian Europe of sovereign nation states. That's why we need to outright reject the lie that nationalism causes war. It's not nationalism or national sovereignty that causes war. It's expansionism. And where in Europe do we find that nowadays? In one place and one place only. Brussels. Isn't it funny how the same people who erode our national sovereignty and love to do it, give it all up to the Eurocrats there, that those people are now telling us that we need to spend billions and billions of euros on the national sovereignty of Ukraine? It's a joke, honestly, and it's a pretty sick, expensive, and dangerous joke. During a recent interview, I got asked by an interviewer, do you think that you ever go too far? Do you think that you're ever too radical? I thought about it for a second, and I said, no. No, I don't think I go too far. Truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, I think we in Europe do not go far enough. I think that if we really think about the organized, structural attack on our civilization, that we don't do enough. Do we do enough to stop the attack on our families, on our continent, on our countries, on our religion? When we hear about another murder, another stabbing of a young, innocent child, do we do enough? When we know that our national sovereignty has been given up in less than a century, to Brussels, do we do enough? When we hear that Christian kids in Germany are now converting to Islam to fit in, do we do enough? I don't think so. The totalitarian institute of the European Union needs to come down. Let me be clear, I don't believe in reforms. When the foundation of your institution is rotten, and that is the case in Brussels, you can rebuild the house on top of it all you want, but it's still going to crumble. So the only answer is the Tower of Babel needs to be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the daughters and sons of the greatest nations on earth. And we need to ask ourselves, what has happened to us? Where do we come from? And more importantly, where are we going? Our elites have declared a war on us, and now it is time for us to put on the full armor of God, fight back, and win. Thank you so much.